Okay, let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. You've probably noticed in the 10 o'clock hour we've been jumping around a little bit, but the theme that we've been staying with in every lesson are types of Christ. We're looking at various places in the Old Testament where our Lord Jesus Christ is typified. Exodus 12 describes the very last night that the children of Israel were in bondage in the land of Egypt. Now, the children of Israel are a figure of God's true spiritual Israel, and they they were in bondage. That's what every elect child of God is by nature. He's in bondage. Their life was bitter. It was hard. They were slaves. There was no way for them to free themselves out of bondage. But God had made a covenant long before this with Abraham that he would deliver these children out of bondage. And that in itself is an illustration of how God the Father and God the Son entered into covenant before the world began to deliver a people. And we have here an illustration of how, a type of how, God delivers His people. Now we begin reading in verse 1. And we'll just take this verse by verse. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now this would be the new beginning for the children of Israel. This is going to be the date they're going to mark their calendars by as the very beginning for them. Whenever the Spirit of our God enters into a sinner and creates him anew, it's the beginning. It's the day he's truly born. It's the first day. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 3, he says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us throughout the Scriptures as the Lamb of God. He's the Christ, our Passover Lamb, is sacrificed for us. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. This is a type of Christ in this Lamb. In Revelation, he's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Abraham and Isaac were going up that mountain, and Isaac said, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the Lamb?" And Abraham prophesied of Christ Jesus the Lord, and he said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." And when John saw the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, when He came in human flesh and He was walking this earth, John saw Him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." So we see here in this Lamb is a type, a picture of Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. Verse 4, "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Now, every chosen child of God is in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. God is our Father. Christ Jesus is the everlasting Father, and we all live by this same spiritual meat, Christ the Lamb. He's our life. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." The lamb had to be without blemish. It couldn't have any spot on him, couldn't have any deformity about him, no blemish at all. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin so that He was not contaminated by the seed of Adam. And He had to be so. He had to become that holy thing He had to come forth as he was made of a woman, made under the law, and live righteously, without sin, without spot, without blemish, before the law of God, in order for him to be a fit sacrifice for sin, a fit sacrifice to God. Peter said, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now the lamb we see here was a male. The head of the bride is the man. The head of the woman is the man. Christ, Adam, was a male. Adam was the federal head and representative of all mankind. He's the first man, Adam. The last Adam is Christ, and he's a male. Christ is the head of the bride. He's the head of the church. He's the federal head and representative of his people. Now, the lamb was a male of the first year. Christ was slain in the prime of his life. And I think the significance of that is that he willingly laid down his life. He willingly went to the cross in the prime of his life, 30 some odd years old, and laid down his life himself. And his lamb could be taken from the sheep or from the goats. Some of the commentaries made this observation, that the lamb, when we consider the lamb, we're considering Christ and his spotless, sinless perfection. And when we consider the goats, it could be taken from the goats. We consider Christ as he was made sin for his people. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now verse 6 says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now the lamb was kept up until the 14th day of that same month, until an appointed time. The time was appointed of God when this lamb was to be slain. You know, our Lord walked amongst sinners who had hatred in their hearts for God, who had murder in their hearts against him. And the Scripture says repeatedly, they continually sought to lay hands on him. They continually sought to take him and kill him. But no man could do it because his hour was not yet come. The hour God had appointed had not yet come. And in that time, when that time had come, and it was time for him to lay down his life, Jesus said, "The hour is come. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." At no point ever, ever, ever since the creation of this world has God been out of control, or things have gone awry out of his purpose and out of his direct control. Even the hour that he foreordained and foreappointed that his Son would lay down his life was in his control. God's the controller of time. God's the controller of men. God is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Now the whole assembly should kill this lamb in the evening. The crucifixion of Christ is attributed to the whole nation of Israel throughout the Scriptures. But there's something else here for God's true Israel, for his people. It's because of our sin that Christ was put on the cross. When I sin, as I see myself rebelling against God, when I see myself sin against God, this is what I must always remember. This is sin that Christ died for. Not to excuse my sin, not to excuse my rebellion, but to cause bitterness, to cause me to mourn that this very thing right here that I hate is what put my Savior on the cross. Now verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Now Christ's blood had to be shed for his people. Turn with me to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Hold your place there and look at Hebrews 9. Christ's blood had to be shed for his people. And in the shedding of his blood, he justified us. He obtained eternal redemption, Scripture said. But this blood has got to be applied, brethren. to each one for whom he died. And only God can apply this blood. Only God can make a sinner alive. And only God can apply this blood. It has to be joined to us for us to rejoice in what great things God has done for us. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Look down at verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." By the application of this blood, by the Spirit of God sprinkling us and purging our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, we receive the atonement with open, empty hands, and we have peace with God. This is how we enter into these great things that Christ has done for us. Now, back there in our text, Exodus 12, verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now here we have a good picture of faith. A good picture of faith. Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. It's when you eat something, it becomes a part of you. And Christ Jesus, when we through faith, believing on Christ Jesus, it's like eating. We become one with him. He in us and us in him. One with him. This lamb here was roasted with fire. It was roasted with fire. We're going to say something else about this in a moment as it pertains to faith. But here, let me just say this, that Christ Jesus endured the holy fire of God's wrath for his people in the room instead of his people. And as we behold this lamb that was crucified at Calvary, we behold the substitute. We behold one who bore God's wrath in my room instead, who laid down his life that I might go free. And that's what faith perceives and beholds and rejoices in. And then they ate this lamb with unleavened bread. Leaven is a type of evil. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Leaven is a type of evil. As we believe on Christ, lay hold of Christ, we add nothing of our flesh with these sacrifices. We add no works of our hands. We add no justifying work of our hands. We add no sanctifying work of our hands. We come to Christ. Being separated, being truly sanctified, is to be brought out from that lie, that falsehood of thinking you by the work of your hand can perfect yourself. It is to be perfected in the Spirit of God, to be continually coming to Christ, continually separated from this world, to trust in Christ Jesus alone. He's our separation. He's our holiness. But look here with me, and we partake of Christ in sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. That's what you are. In spirit, that's what you are. Paul says, now purge out that old leaven. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what we see here, is they eat this sacrifice with unleavened bread. It's in sincerity and in truth. Now, they also ate it with bitter herbs. When they ate it with bitter herbs. Accompanying faith is repentance. Repentance is a sorrowing. And I'll tell you what it is a sorrow over the most. It's a sorrow over what our Savior had to bear and endure because of us, our rebellion and our sin and our unbelief. It's a Zechariah, he said, by the Spirit of God's grace, when the Spirit enters in, he said the believer is going to look upon Christ, whom we have pierced, and we're going to mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. We're going to be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. All right, verse 9, back in our text. Exodus 12, verse 9. He says, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, that is, not boiled in water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. The lamb was not to be eaten raw. The lamb was not to be boiled in water, but it was to be thoroughly roasted with fire, and all of this lamb was to be eaten, and nothing was to be left over. Believers receive Christ through faith, and we receive him not half-heartedly. That's what Paul was talking about when he said in sincerity and truth. Not half-heartedly, not lukewarm in our commitment to God and our service to God. Not partaking of some truth and passing by other truth. Do you remember? This would be good for us to read. Turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Look down at verse 15. This is what the Lord said to the church at Laodicea. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We're to receive all of Christ. We're to be committed wholeheartedly to Christ Jesus the Lord, to this gospel, to this work in this place, to our brethren in this place, to eat all, to eat all of Christ. And here's zeal in the next part of our text. The next part of our text, verse 11. This is the zeal we're talking about, Exodus 12:11. And thus shall ye eat it. Here's how you partake of this lamb. With your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. This is how the believers to partake of Christ, with your loins girt about with truth, with the truth of this gospel, desiring to hear this gospel preached. God has promised to bless his people through the preaching of the gospel. He's gone to great lengths to ensure that his people have the gospel preached to them, brethren. And he doesn't take it lightly when we take it lightly. It's to be wholeheartedly with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is how we're going to know how to walk. This is how we're going to know how to take our steps in this world and journey on this pilgrimage through this world. with the staff of faith in our hands. And he says, and partaking of him in haste. Hasting to that day that we shall depart. Every opportunity you have to eat, eat. And he said, eat this. Don't tarry. Eat him. Redeem the time. This is the time you have to eat right now. You know, when you're hungry and you sit down at a table to eat, you don't have to be talked into this. You don't have to be talked into eating. You eat. And sometimes people have to tell you, slow down a little bit. Yes, he said, eat this lamb. While you have this time, partake of this lamb. Partake of this lamb. Eat of this feast. Be wholeheartedly partaking of this feast. And be eagerly anticipating leaving this place. You see, we're not here, brethren, to try to put our name on this world. Men like to put their names on everything as if they're trying to convince somebody they own it. We don't own anything here. We're not of this world. We're pilgrims in this world. We're passing out of this world. Don't put roots down in this world. Don't get tied down in this world to things that you can't walk away from. Christ is all. We're leaving this place. In a very short time, we're leaving this place. And here's our motivation. This is the motivation. And if this is not our motivation, we will not do this. And if this motivation doesn't motivate you, nothing else will. It is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. Christ is the Lord's Passover. He chose the Lamb. He chose His Son. He said, behold, mine elect, whom I uphold, in whom my soul delighteth. He chose the Lamb. He chose who would partake of this Lamb. Nobody in Egypt got a part of this, but just the children of Israel. He sent forth this Lamb. He provided the Lamb. He sent forth His only begotten Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction, the atonement for our sins. He slew the Lamb. God poured out His own justice on His own Son, and He slew the Lamb. He satisfied His own justice because you and I couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. And He applies the blood. He quickens and gives life through the Spirit, and He gives the gift of faith, and He grants repentance, and He draws us to Himself. And all the glory belongs to Him. It's the Lord's Passover. Why should I even worry about going and hearing the gospel preached? It's the Lord's Passover. If that's not motivation enough, nothing will be. I got nothing else to give you. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Everybody, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt were smitten that night. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt died that night. In the houses of Egypt and in the houses of the Israelites. Every firstborn died that night in Israel. The difference was Christ the Lamb. This Passover Lamb died in the place of the firstborn in the houses of Israel. Christ the Lamb died in place of a multitude that no man can number. And because the plague fell upon Him, the plague won't be upon His children to destroy us. Those who are brought by God to believe on Christ live, and they go out free. They go out free. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To the praise of the glory of His grace, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And He's made us to understand the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He's purposed in Himself. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. A feast to the Lord. There's you some more motivation. This is a feast to the Lord. We're here celebrating what the Lord has done today. We're here rejoicing in what the Lord has done. He's the guest of honor here today. We shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. We don't keep this feast, the temporal feast, the carnal feast, but we keep it. We keep it. We keep it through faith in His Son, Christ. Paul said, let us keep the feast with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We keep this feast. We persevere delighting in what our Father has done through His Son. Now, brethren, listen to me. God's going to pass through again very soon. And He's going to smite this Egypt we live in, this whole world, in judgment. Only those that are under the blood, only those that are under the blood of the Lamb through faith in Christ will God pass over. Where will you be found? Where will you be when He comes again? Where will you be? This is what He says. He says, when I see the blood, not when I see you, not when I look at your works. You know where the children of Israel were? They were inside, and the door was shut. And the blood was over the doorposts on the outside. And the Lord passed through, and He didn't look at them. He looked for the blood. He's looking for His Son. And whomever His Son represents, whoever's laid hold of His Son by faith, He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the judgment won't touch you. It won't come near you because it's already passed. It's already been satisfied in Christ Jesus. If you don't know Christ, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, flee to Him today. Don't let your head lay down on the pillow tonight without thinking on this long and hard. You need Christ. If you've never trusted Him, if you've never believed on Him, you need the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You need to be found under the blood. I pray He'll give you grace to seek Him. Just think, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, that He might speak those words into your heart this morning and make you understand this. When He says, when I see the blood of my Son, I'll pass over you. There's great reason to rejoice in that. Great reason to rejoice in that. I pray He'll give you grace to believe on Him.